Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
On today's Faith and Freedom, we're going to be talking about whether or not these COVID shots are actually safe and other issues related to these shots. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. A very special guest is Dr. Peter McCullough. He is an expert in this and many other areas. He is the most published person in the world in history in his specific expertise. He is board certified in internal medicine and a subspecialty in cardiology. He wrote the very first protocol for treating COVID. Welcome, Dr. McCullough, to Faith and Freedom.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. McCullough, let's talk about the safety or lack thereof of the COVID shots. We have Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson here in the United States under the emergency use authorization provision. Can you address that?
Well, you know, millions of Americans have taken the shot. About half of Americans now are fully vaccinated. And for the vast majority of Americans, they had some reaction to the shot, a sore arm or fever, chills. The average American actually took about a day or 2 days off of work after the shot. So it was a pretty significant immunization, much more serious, certainly, than the flu shot or shingles or other vaccines that we receive. But millions went through it just fine. But the difficulty is that we know the vaccines have a dangerous mechanism of action. All the vaccines available in the United States trick the body's genetics into producing the dangerous spike protein on the virus. So the first time, instead of having a vaccine that we would just form an immune response to, like an inactivated flu shot or a tetanus protein, instead, this is genetically hijacking the body's cellular machinery, and the human body cells produce a dangerous protein that damages cells within the body. It goes on the cell surface, causes the body's own immune system to attack its own cells. And then worse than that, the spike protein is then liberated and it circulates in the bloodstream for about 2 weeks, causing damage to blood vessels, blood clotting. It injures the brain, the heart, the immune system, and the hematologic system. So we know that for some people, if they take up too much of the genetic material in their body, or it's too widely distributed, they're probably the ones set up for vaccine injuries. And this set of vaccines has caused a record number of non-fatal vaccine reactions that have been certified by the CDC, and unfortunately, an alarming number of fatalities.
You know, I've seen pictures of before and after the shot with the blood cells, and it's alarming to see the difference when somebody receives a COVID shot, what it does to your blood cells.
Well, it's known that the virus itself causes what's called hemagglutination. And that is the spike protein, or the spines on the ball of the virus, stick to red blood cells and cause them to clump together. It also sticks with platelets and starts blood coagulation. And one of the interesting things with this infection, unlike other viral infections, it raises a blood test indicating clotting called the D-dimer test. And so this is reliably elevated in the natural SARS-CoV-2 infection. And now, in a work analysis done by Dr. Hoffe out of Canada, he has shown after the vaccine that D-dimer is elevated.
Yeah, I've seen that. That is very startling. So if you get COVID, you have a spike protein that is developed, but it's more isolated, is it not, to certain parts of your body? Whereas if you get, for example, the COVID shots, the mRNA version particularly, you're going to have trillions of spike proteins that are released throughout the entire body. So all of your body, various parts of your organs can be affected. What's the difference between the spike protein that is created or, you know, instituted by the shot versus the spike protein that happens from getting COVID naturally?
Well, the shots are all coded to the original most dangerous form called the wild type spike protein. And each one of the manufacturers has created a little different set of targets off that spike protein. So for instance, we know the Pfizer set of targets offers the least number of antibody targets. Moderna's a little stronger. And then J&J offers the targets of the spike protein plus the adenoviral vectors. So they each offer a different set of immunity if you will. And of course, the virus has already figured this out. So the virus is mutated now to the point, and mutations that basically allow it to escape the vaccines are mutations in the spike protein. But as you implied, the natural infection allows your body to fight it off in the nose and the throat. And then once the virus gets in your body starts fighting the spike protein, the nucleocapsid, the polymerases, and we form a robust T cell, natural killer cell, dendritic cell, as well as antibody, B cell, and plasma cell immunity. So the natural immunity is very robust. And, you know, the virus replicates in the human body, let's say in a senior citizen, for about 2 weeks. That can be shortened to about 4 days with early treatment. The vaccine is very different. The vaccine bypasses the nose and the throat. The vaccine basically mainlines the genetic code for the spike protein right into our cells. And we know these lipid nanoparticles, the lipid nanoparticles target organs in the body. So, for instance, they target the adrenal glands in the ovaries. They hyperconcentrate in the ovaries. We know the lipid nanoparticles go into the brain, they go into the heart, and they go into vital organs. So the vaccine is very different than a natural infection.
That's frightening.
So right now, if you go to, you know, the VAERS, you have now the deaths in the double figures. You know, even mentioning what those figures are now, a week from now, those figures will increase. And in fact, between 2 weeks that I counted Friday to Friday, it's usually on Friday where these VAERS numbers are updated, there were almost 4,000 deaths in each week, almost 2,000 deaths, or a little bit over 2,000 1 week and a little bit less than 2,000 the next week, almost 4,000 deaths in a 2 week period alone. But wherever those numbers are, at any time you look at those, and I encourage you to go to lc.org/vaccine, you can go under adverse reactions and go to the data VAERS chart, and that gives you a chart of everything. You can check that out periodically. But those deaths that are recorded there already are more than twice the number of deaths that have been recorded in VAERS since its founding in July of 1990 from all vaccines combined. That's startling. And just that one stat alone, that in 6 months we're more than double what we've had over the past 31 years from all vaccines combined in that same reporting system. Why is it that there is not a huge alarm to stop this, mm-hmm. pause it, coming directly from the CDC and the FDA?
Why haven't they shut it down is my question.
Well, you know, I presented at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, Cornerstone Society, and my analysis is that the mortality, the annual mortality for all vaccines combined, about 500 million shots given a year. You know, I've had two of them this year myself, so I double count for flu and shingles. Probably you have had vaccines this year. That 500 million shots per year, the average number of deaths that would be reported into the registry is about 158 per year, all 70 vaccines, okay? And they have no relationship in time to giving the vaccine. They're just ambiently reported. Here, with basically 180 million COVID shots, you're right, we're into the thousands. And it all depends if you want to restrict it to just U.S. cases. I think we're north of 5,000. If we allow Pfizer and Moderna used elsewhere, we're over 10,000 deaths. Now, these are deaths certified by the CDC. So they get assigned a temporary VAERS number, and then the CDC verifies if in fact they've died, and they get a permanent VAERS number. We know that over 80% of all the reports of deaths and non-fatal injuries are made by doctors and nurses that think the vaccine actually caused the problem. So as we sit here today, we have the largest biological catastrophe of a medicinal biologic product in human history, by far.
This is awful.
But yet all the narrative you hear, and yeah. This is the frustrating thing.
Where are the red flags?
That it's, you know, all safe, and that they try to discount VAERS if you try to mention VAERS. And yet this is a government reporting system. It's not so easy to log all that in. I've talked to people that have, you know, done that, and they're actually working inside of the VAERS system. And so that's another whole issue as to how much backlog that they really have, because what we're seeing here are numbers, but they're backlogged for quite some time. Well, our very special guest is Dr. Peter McCullough. We're going to continue our conversation this week with regards to COVID, and particularly the COVID shots, on Faith and Freedom. You can learn more about Dr. McCullough. He wrote the very first protocol, and that is still effective for treating COVID. You can find that at lc.org/vaccine, lc.org/vaccine. You can look at some of Dr. McCullough's background. His CV is there as well, with 166 pages of background. That's why I don't have time on this program to even begin to go through his expertise. But he is one of the world-renowned experts in his field, but also in this area of COVID. We're going to continue our discussion with him, talking about other aspects of COVID and these COVID shots on Faith and Freedom. Again, visit lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.